Good morning. My name is Stephen Chaub, and I'm the leader of the Fidgeter Revolution. And I'm joined here today by my wife and author, Eve Chaub.
Hello.
And we're going to talk about a movie that was done by Keanu Reeves back in 2012, which somehow escaped my attention until last night. And it's called Side by Side. And it's a look at the motion picture industry and the transformation it's been going through from the analog to digital future. And so we're going to sort of talk about what we saw, what we thought was problematic, and what we thought was good, and just sort of kick the can around here for a few minutes.
I couldn't believe that this came out that long ago because and we didn't know about it. I mean, it's an amazing movie, and I think anybody who is at all interested in the conversation about film versus digital needs to see this because everybody and their mother is in the movie.
Absolutely. And it's available on iTunes. Yeah. It might be available on other sources.
And it's
and stuff,
really
it's
well
great.
Done. Yeah, I mean, really I really is. Was very impressed. Keanu Reeves and I forget the name of the guy who wrote it. You know, they do such a good job going back and forth between the different viewpoints, and they hit everything.
Yeah.
You know, the people who are the, you know, go, rah-rah, digital, everything, and then you've got
George Lucas.
Yeah. And Steven Soderbergh.
Yeah.
You know, and then you have the other side of the people going, wait, what are we losing? What are we losing here?
Right.
And they go through very nicely and talk about in a very sort of nice overview of here's actually what happens in the camera.
Right.
Here's the actual technical differences. Here's what the potential problems are, you know, and they go through everything from the technology to the, you know, the way we're watching movies is changing.
Our experience,
and I think this has,
right.
It's obviously not just about movies, although that's the focus of this film. You know, it also totally relates to the conversation that's going on in photography.
Absolutely. Still photography.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, let's talk about the key points, the things that we both felt were issues that people need to be having a bigger dialogue about now. You know, one of the things that they talk about in the movie is why young cinematographers are using digital over film. And it really boils down to two things. One, cost.
Economics.
Two, convenience.
Yeah.
You know, timeline. And this gets into an argument that I've been having for a very long time, that the problem with film is the way film is the distribution of film. And I'm telling in terms of like buying film, going to the store and buying film.
The ease of access.
Yeah, and the cost of getting it. I mean, the cost to go out and buy, you know, a couple thousand, you know, feet of film is expensive. You know, the cost of going out and buying, you know, a couple thousand rolls of film is expensive in still photography. I mean, it's an expensive endeavor. And it doesn't need to be as expensive as it is. And that's one of the things that people kept talking about was how it was cheaper going digital. But they're not really figuring into that price how fast these digital camera motion technologies are changing. And the cost of constantly
updating your technology?
Exactly.
Whereas, so your argument would be, it's not as cheap as you think. And it may not be cheaper?
It's probably still slightly cheaper, but not as cheap as you might think. Is it better visually? Probably no. You don't get the color depth. But I understand why a lot of these young cinematographers want to use it. And I understand, yes, it does make some parts of the process a lot easier. And it's a definitively different look. But one of my problems is that the distribution model that companies like Kodak use to sell film is really broken. And this would be a way to fix this problem on day one. Kodak should, this is just a quick little sidebar, should absolutely start a website where photographers and cinematographers can buy film directly from Kodak at the same price that Kodak sells to stores like B&H. Now, you have to understand that.
So you get a wholesale price.
You get a wholesale price. Now, you can't go in and buy one roll, but you could go in and buy several $1,000s worth of film.
I'm kind of astounded that doesn't exist already.
It's really amazing to me because that would be such a boom for film. There are so many pros listening to this audio right now that would buy film in big quantity if they got a huge discount on it.
I'm sure that places like B&H, you know, if they were listening to this right now, would be tearing their hair out going, no, you can't undermine our market.
For them, it's such a tiny portion of what they sell.
Now.
This was the same mistake. I'm not going to say the company, but a company in France that I've done some work with over the years, and they waited too long to go to the online distribution model instead of relying on the Calumets and the B&Hs. You know, between the cost of the euro exchange and the cost of, you know, what their margin has to be at these other companies, the cost of film went too high. Kodak right now could easily build a professional website, and if you're willing to buy multi-thousand dollar allotments of either motion picture film or still film, you get a substantial discount. I know countless
and then developers. People are invested because they've got a freezer full of film.
Exactly.
So they've got a hand in. They've got a reason to keep using it, and they know that for X amount of time they can get whatever they're using.
And this doesn't apply to my mom who wants to go out and buy one roll of film and put it in her camera. This applies to somebody like me who, I'll buy a few thousand rolls of film if I could get it for a good enough price. And I would freeze it and it would last, you know, an insane amount of time. This
is a way for back Kodak. To the film.
Yeah, back to the film. One of the other things that I found deeply upsetting was the archiving nature of motion picture today. You know, George Lucas...
I thought it was bad. I thought it was bad enough, the state of regular celluloid film, because that degrades if it's not kept in a good enough environment. And you've got the archives that they're maintaining at the George Eastman House in Rochester, and they're desperately trying to save all these old films that are rapidly being lost. But apparently, I wasn't aware of this, the situation with digital may be much worse.
Well, film is considered the gold standard in terms of archiving. It's 100 years for modern motion picture and film emulsions. That's why, you know, everybody wants to output to motion picture for long-term storage. No one has really sat down and figured out an easy, upgradable, maintainable way to update all of these digital movies that are being created. All of these hard drives are not going to be readable in 5 or 10 years. I think it was interesting that one cinematographer who mentioned that there's been over 80 different film formats for digital capture. And
so you've already got things that have been lost. He says lots of
the vast majority of them can't be read. And the fact that nowadays when they archive these movies, they have to actually put a reader in the archive with the hard drives, because in 10 years, in 5 years, someone might not be able to read that.
I thought that was so interesting when they were talking about film, saying, hey, as long as you have a light source, you can, you hold the film up and move it, and it you can see the film.
Exactly.
But with digital, that's all
it's dead.
Gone.
Well, the Vivian Mayer comment that we talked about earlier. If someone had found a box of Vivian Mayer's CDs or DVDs, they would have had no idea what they were buying.
And it would have gone in the
But you see a whole set of negatives, somebody can hold it up and they go, wow, these are images.
So is that argument enough? I don't know. Well, but it is something that I think people need to be really super aware of. And I was very impressed, not in a good way, with how more than one famous filmmaker was saying, oh, well, somebody will figure it out.
Yeah.
If people want to preserve these films, someone will someday figure this out.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, that's a convenient, place to rest your head, because...
it's called the chopping block.
Well, I just don't think that that's good enough.
No, it's not good enough. And now...
Oh, well, someone will do it. Well, who? Who's going to say, maybe no one will do it soon enough.
Well, there are salt mines around the United States that are archiving all of these movies. And that's where the movies are stored, underground in these abandoned salt mines, for archival purposes.
Oh my God, that sounds so primitive.
Oh, it's actually not. It's actually these hermetically sealed spaces, very high tech though. They're temperature controlled because they're underground. They're not subject to cosmic radiation the way they are, if they were stored above ground. And film is insanely stable.
Well, it's insanely stable once it's in a protected environment.
Even in a non-protected environment, you could take a roll of film, stick it on your table once it's been processed, and it'll last longer than a CD or a DVD will. By decades. By dozens of decades.
CDs I think a lot of people have the opposite impression that, I've got a gold DVD, and that'll last forever because it's gold, right?
Well, the gold ones are better than the standard aluminum-based ones. The aluminum ones, 15 years max. Hard drives, unless you update them and play them, they break.
That was another thing that I wasn't aware of. The fellow in the film who said, hey, if you don't use your hard drive, you can put it on a hard drive and put it in storage. That doesn't mean that when you go back to it in 10 years, you'll be able to play it.
That's right.
And I think that's something most people don't know.
Well, this is one of the biggest right now for me. I mean, you've got all these cinematographers, Scorsese and all the people that we wrote about a couple of days ago. who have written this letter and who's got the studios involved now to continue film production from Eastman Kodak, as they are the only, you know, person right now making motion picture film.
Yes.
You know, and all these people have jumped on board. What needs to happen now is all these other people need to wake up and realize, look, you don't want to shoot film. Want to shoot film. That's fine. However, for the preservation of our industry, for the ability for our work to be seen 10, 20, 30 years down the road, and to be upgradable from, you know, 4K to 8K to 12K, we need to absolutely, right now, continue film. Because film is the gold standard.
Well, and they were all talking, and this is 2 years ago now, 2012 when the film came out.
Right.
They're all talking about the imminent death of film. And some thought it would be 5 years, and some thought it would be 10, and some thought it might be a little longer than that. But they're all talking about this like we're getting ready for a funeral. And, you know, feeling sad about it already. And it's like, well, we do have a choice. Yep. And we can preserve these technologies and keep making film.
Yes.
If there's enough interest there, if people care about it.
If you're only making film for the purpose of archiving at this point, it makes total sense. Because it's, our chickens are going crazy. It's the only standard that we know going forward is easily readable and retrievable. Whereas the digital formats, not so much. I mean, the guy who was doing the interview who says, yeah, I've got all these tapes here of, you know, videos that I shot for MTV.
And I can't
MTV.
Read them.
I can't read
they're
a
just
single
sitting
one.
There, but I, yeah.
And how many people listening to this have got raw cameras, you know, raw files from the late 1999, early 2000s that can't read those files either?
No,
and we think that TIFF and JPEG is something that's a standard for how many
the
years?
The immediacy has a price.
It does. And I think that there needs to be a real wake-up on the part of Hollywood. Look, I understand that digital is less expensive to ship, you know, the movies to the theaters. Our chickens are
the
totally
chickens
going
want
crazy.
Everyone to wake up.
Yo, so would you go
the,
let
chickens
the chickens
are
out,
up
please?
In arms.
You know, I have no, I totally understand that. I understand that it's a gateway for young cinematographers to get into making movies.
And nobody wants to deny them that.
No.
Nobody wants to, you know, I have no problem, as, you know, just like you always are saying on the Digital Revolution, with people using whatever works for them. Right? But I also agree with you that the best thing for everyone is to preserve as many different formats and media and different ways of working as we possibly can. And to just wholesale say, this is the future, abandon the past, without stopping for a moment to think what we lose then.
Well, and I think in terms of what
is
we
a
lose,
mistake.
I think in terms of what we lose, this is an important comparison. Polaroid. When Polaroid went out of business, you know, everybody was like, well, yeah, it's obsolete, you know, technology, whatever. But the reality is that a lot of people really liked it. And a lot of people wanted to have it continue going forward. You know, who's one of the largest purchasers of Fuji instant film, which is like the Polaroid process, is law enforcement. Because Polaroids can't be faked. So using an instant Polaroid is important, like in crime scenes. Digital cameras aren't necessarily, you
know. I didn't know
that. They're one of the largest buyers, is criminal justice. And so
what did they do?
They've been using the Fuji stuff. But there's been this huge interest. And many of you know that I'm not a big fan of the Impossible Project because I feel that the quality isn't there and the cost is tremendous. You know,
but what they're trying to do is admirable.
But it's stupid what they're trying
it's
to
stupid?
Do.
It's stupid?
Think about it. We had a process that worked.
Right, but we don't have it anymore.
No, but this is my point. We had a technology that worked that had developed since the mid-40s and was perfect and amazing. So what happened? The technology went away, and all of a sudden, everybody wanted that technology back, and we've now spent how many years? Four, five, six years.
Well, they have.
Right. And millions of dollars
trying to
recreate technology.
The wheel, yeah.
And they still haven't been able to do it to even anywhere near
okay, but
the
why does that make it stupid trying?
No, it's not that makes it stupid trying. It makes it what I'm trying to say in terms of the current production of film. The moment Kodak stops producing this film,
everyone will go, oh!
And you're not going to get anybody else to start
making
it
again. There'll be a pause for about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And then people will go, oh!
Yeah. And no one, and I do mean no other film manufacturing company in the world, will be able to step up to the plate and make what Kodak is making today.
Oh, I'm sure that's true, and I think you're right to point to Polaroid as the perfect example of, look, you think you can get it back, but you probably can't.
And once you stop running those machines, they're not turning them back on.
Right.
Once that's done, it's done.
One last question. Why isn't Kodak more interested in making that? In, you know, it at least from my very outsider viewpoint, it seems like Kodak just doesn't focus on...
No pun intended.
...the issue, right. On making people aware of this issue. You know, they have a vested interest, even if it's a small one at this point.
Well, right? It's actually a big interest for them because they're sitting on a tremendous investment in terms of the facilities to make these materials, and they don't want to see that stop. The problem with Kodak is that Kodak has always been too fractured in my mind. There was a separation between still film and motion picture film, even though they were made on the same damn machine, in a lot of cases on the same day. They were two different divisions. That made no sense because now you're splitting all the advertising dollars and promotion dollars between two different industries.
Right, because one can benefit the other and everybody's
And that's now a done deal because of the bankruptcy settlement. They're not going to be one industry. You know, it's two completely different companies. The still is Kodak Alaris out of the UK, and Motion Picture is still under Eastman Kodak in Rochester.
Oh, that's terrible.
It's dumb. It was the stupidest decision. And on top of that, you know, finally, you have cinematographers stepping up to the plate here, screaming and yelling that we still want film.
Is it too
have
late?
Have I seen a single promotion from Kodak saying, look, look, look? No.
But because they're not working together.
But because Kodak has, their marketing people have never sat down and understood that it's in everybody's best interest to promote film from the cinematographer's end to the still end. Get the big heavy hitters out there and have them give testimonials like they're doing
so
right
now.
So
you need a collaboration between these two different divisions
you
at
do.
Kodak.
You do. And unless that happens, film is in big trouble. And if film ceases making today, we're all in big trouble if you love movies. Because there is no solution right now
to
archiving.
Then and it makes me wonder, as just a regular consumer, about the death of the movie theater.
Will
we still go to the theater? Will people just watch things on their phones?
And anybody who says, oh, but it's a more personal experience looking at the phone or sharing it with friends, that's a bunch of, it's a different experience.
It's different. And I'm not saying that watching a movie on your phone is somehow, like, morally corrupt or something. I'm just saying it's totally different.
Right.
And I personally would miss the idea of going to a movie theater and sitting and the collective experience, just like when you go to the theater and you have a collective experience, you know,
it's
so that's something I do think it would be, you know, among many other things, it would be sad to lose, you know, and it's just, it's all these things that while we're rushing headlong into the future, I think it's important to pause for a moment.
Well, I think it's also important to understand that going to a movie theater today that's doing digital projection is basically like sitting in your house and watching a big TV.
Don't you think people know that?
No, they don't. There's no difference. Basically, that's what you're doing. You're watching a gigantic TV.
And you're getting the chance to see it first.
Right, and you get a chance to see it big.
And with a bunch of other people.
But it's different than watching a celluloid film projection.
Which is better quality than you could ever see at home.
It's just smoother and richer and deeper. And it's a different visual experience than watching a digital.
So let
me just say one thing here, though. That gets into the similarity between listening to audio on vinyl and listening to an MP3.
The same thing happened there. Now you have a revival of vinyl and people being interested in...
And you've got a handful of places that are still doing
CDs
vinyl presses.
CDs were supposed to be so much better.
Right, and they're not. And everybody's going,
it took a long time.
Right. But the problem with film is that you shut down major, huge production runs like a Kodak, and you're not going to get those.
So
there are lots of small boutique companies that make black and white films. There are small boutique companies. You know, the one thing that also drove me crazy was when, last point, when Lucas, who, by the way, is not getting a Christmas card from me this year, when George Lucas was talking about, when he was talking about how, you know, film technology has got as good as it's going to get. You know, it's reached its peak. The only reason it's reached its peak is because there's not enough market base to justify improving it.
Yeah, I thought
Kodak
that was...
in the last 7 years has come out with 5 new films. You know, the Portra 400 and the Portra 160 are both based on Vision 3 motion picture film. That's a radical improvement over what there still was. And they've even come out with a new motion picture film for the purposes of archiving. So all the old movies that are in the Library of Congress.
So innovation is still happening.
It's still happening. It's really disingenuous.
Don't believe George Lucas.
Yeah. He's too much the cheerleader from 20 years ago of film is dead. And yet it's still here. And he's the one saying, someone will figure this out. And the reality is, no one's going to figure it out until it's too late. And that concerns me tremendously.
So,
you know,
upshot.
Upshot. Watch the movie side by side.
It's a great movie.
Great movie. Get some popcorn, watch it.
Points.
Yeah. And, you know, and definitely.
I was wondering what it was shot on.
Oh, it's digitally captured for sure. Yeah. It'd be far too expensive. And that's the thing is, I understand that. Look, for a lot of things, digital capture makes a lot of sense. Where it's just something that's for like that, sure. But, you know, if you look at the examples that they show that where it is done on motion picture, you know, in Scorsese, in one of his letters that he wrote, he basically says, when we shoot in HD, we're doing every single thing we can to make it look like film. Film still has more depth. Film still has better grain. Skin looks better on film. I'm not downing digital, but I'm saying both should exist. And right now, the reality is both need to exist.
Okay, so people, you know, we could say, oh, go buy a roll of film if you care.
Right.
Or we could say, what? Call Kodak.
Call Kodak. Call your other film photographers. Encourage.
I care about film.
Yeah. Every time you're talking about your work and you're showing your work, and whether you're shooting, you know, going straight to silver print or some hybrid process, make sure people know, I work on film, and I work on film for these reasons.
Wear a t-shirt. Yeah. I use film.
Yeah, it's important that people understand that film...
Film's not dead.
Not only isn't dead, it's extremely viable and necessary for the preservation of movies to survive. And if it doesn't survive, we're all in a big pickle.
And the movies is directly linked to the still...
Oh, it's made on the same
as
machines.
Well.
Same machines.
So it's not just about movies. It's all linked together.
The moment you stop making motion picture, still film at Eastman Kodak is dead. They are linked completely. And it's not the opposite way. If still photography dies, motion picture film
will
still
go
be
on.
Made.
Right.
But, and they've got it now to where they can make such small batches of still film that still film's easy. But the motion picture is the key. We have to keep the production of motion picture film happening if we want to keep still photography alive. We are all in the same boat. And it's a small boat, but we're all in the same boat. Thank you very much for listening. We can't wait to hear your thoughts. Have a great day.